You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, my kindreds, what's happening out there, everyone? It's so good. We have a bright, sunny, shiny day in LA. You know, one of those gorgeous days in the fall that you wish for, and it's not raining and not snowing and sleeting, so we're pretty fortunate in that way. Today, we have some lovely people on. We've got a panel of some wonderful guests. I'll explain more in a moment. But meanwhile, let me get to my sponsor. Yay, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. Hey, Kevin. Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist of Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Kevin is the man on the scene. He loves to do real estate, loves to talk about it. He lives and breathes it. He's the person you want to see, 818-571-1508, Coldwell Banker, Kevin Pike. Shout out to Crystal at Navy Federal. Thank you, girl. She did a great job on the phone. Great representative for them. Somebody's going to steal her. Watch out. Richard at Enterprise Car here. Very nice. He and his dog is Jindo. And the guys at Caliber Collision, wonderful, wonderful people. I had an accident and they took really, really good care of me. They are really cool people. And don't forget to support theAfricaChannel.com here in North Hollywood, California. Now, today for our guest, I have a panel of people that are so, so talented. I can't begin to explain and tell you all of the things they've done. So let me just start. So the person that is responsible for bringing this group together, her name is Karen LaFleur. I met Karen through Bibiana Huang Mateus, who is the curator and an artist herself for the International Art Group at the time we were with Hammond. Karen is a founder of her own art studio, LaFleur Artwork. She's out of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. She's exhibited in the Smithsonian, at MoCA, at everything you think of, too numerous to go into. So I'm going to try to read a little bit just to tell you, but we don't have a lot of time and I want them to talk. Also, like I said, the Smithsonian, MoCA, in New York, all over the place. So that's Karen LaFleur of LaFleur Artworks. Next, Cynthia D. Donato. Yay, Cynthia. Cynthia hails out of North Providence, Rhode Island, girl after my own heart. She is an interdisciplinary artist, a woman of many talents. She does abstract art along with analog. So we're going to get into talking to her about what that feels like. Right now, she is currently showing a project called Red, I believe, at the LACDA. That's the Los Angeles Center of Digital Art. We're going to talk to the founder of that in a moment, Rex Bruce. Next on our list is Renata Janiszewska. Renata is out of Lion's Head, Canada, and is a multidisciplinary artist as well. She did a project that I met her through called Mariana, and she and Karen worked together on their project. We're going to talk about that and how she brings and puts music to canvas and landscape and makes it digital. We're going to talk to her. And then the founder of the Tech Expressionist movement, I'm told, Colin Goldberg. Colin is out of North Bennington, Vermont, another beautiful, gorgeous place, perfect for doing the kind of things that you do. And Colin, as I said, he is out of the Bronx, and he is the parents of a Japanese and Jewish ancestry, both PhD people, deeply influenced by abstract expressionism. And that is wonderful. And Renata, by the way, was a part of the Haas group, or she is in touch or associated with the Haas group. So we want to talk to them about their most prestigious backgrounds. And now next on the list, Randy Manischewitz out of LA. Yay. Hey, Randy. And Randy is based in LA. She's known for her large scale media, mixed drawings, video, and installation work. So we're going to talk to her a little bit about what she does. And then last but not least, Rex Bruce. Rex Bruce is the director of the Los Angeles Center for Digital Art. He's also an artist himself. We're going to talk to him about his works. I was told that he works a lot with the subjective, not subjective, but, you know, he really does a lot of curating along with the idea of how to bring digital art to life and show that it's Texpressionist. So let's bring our guest on, and hopefully I've done a great job without reading too much. Hey, everybody. Wow. Hi. Yay.
Hey.
Hi again. Wow. I am so excited. First of all, thank every last one of you for coming on to the Osiris Munir Show. We appreciate you and your whys and everything you've done. And I want you to open your mouths and talk and don't be afraid to expound. So I want to start off with the first question to Colin. Colin Goldberg, as I said before we got on, is the founder of Texpressionism, sort of like the daddy. We like to call him the papa. You know, he looks out for it and makes sure it gets where it needs to get in the corners of the world. So, Colin, what is Texpressionism?
Well, I like to think of Texpressionism as expressionism for the 21st century. And I first used the term as the title of a solo show back in 2011. And fast forward to 2020, I did a Google search and I saw there was another artist named Oz Van Rosen using the term in a magazine article. She was calling herself an abstract expressionist. So I reached out to her and asked her if she was interested in starting an artist group around the idea. And then four of us met up with an art historian named Helen Harrison and, you know, started to put this community together. And, you know, as of now, it's probably around 350 artists from 45 countries, and it's spread primarily through the use of the hashtag Texpressionism on Instagram, which has about a little over 80,000 posts on Instagram with the hashtag now.
Really? That's amazing. Also, now, because you had that feeling that you wanted to expound upon yourself already being expressive as an artist, what has Texpressionism allowed you to do emotionally and spiritually, Colin? How has it allowed you to, has it given you more freedom, less freedom? Are you afraid to use AI, put it on the screen? How does that feel for you?
You know, I've only really started kind of dabbling with AI. I mean, I was really trained as a painter. I was studied painting as an undergraduate student. And I studied under an abstract expressionist painter named Angelo Ippolito, who came to New York from Italy back in the 1950s, I believe. And he kind of turned me on to abstract painting and also the idea that, you know, the work can be completed by the viewer. So I don't really need to explain it or have an explanation. It just comes out of, you know, my own feelings and sort of emotions and things like that. And I think that's something that has translated into working with technology and that, you know, I like to work with software and computer technology sort of in a very experimental way where I don't really know what the end result is going to be. So in that way, it just becomes another vehicle for expression.
Okay. So it's a tool, like, you know, like most things you use it. So now my girls, Renata and Karen, you two worked on, thank you, Colin. You two worked on Mariana. Mariana, is that the name of it? Yes. When you did this presentation, what was the process for each of you individually and you together as a unit to create and curate this on a digital canvas and present it? And then how does it capture the aura of authenticity of what you're trying to say?
Well, I started because I wanted to do something about the ocean, and there was a local museum here that I knew quite well, and I loved Renata's work, and I knew it would work with the ocean beautifully, so I contacted her, and we spent about 2 years working on the project. We had a central theme about the ocean, but we took it from different tactics. Renata took it from the myth storytelling side, and I took it from more the scientific side. So I worked with a scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute on his studies on eddies along ocean water bodies. This is Lucas Tanzer. And then we presented it to the Cape Cod Museum of Art. And Benton Jones, the director of the museum, loved the idea and put it up on their big screen. They have a 90-seat theater in the museum.
Really? That's, and so how long do these things last when you do the presentation? How long does the run last, the, you know, for people to view it and to look at it?
The show itself went for, I think, almost 3 months, but the entire film, I did 10 minutes, Renata did 10 minutes, and then we had titles and credits. So it ended up about 23, 25 minutes for the whole show.
Mm-hmm. And Renata, you, I noticed in your bio, it talks a lot about music and using music and sound and then making it feel, you know, with the canvas, with the digital art. So how does that feel for you? And what is the process of you applying each layer of what you're expressing through digital art?
Thanks. That's a good question, Osiris. I used to use GarageBand exclusively to make my music. So it's a digital tool, and you end up with a MIDI file. And it's not so important to me that the music be so striking that you can listen to it on its own. The music is actually there to accompany the visual artwork. Mm-hmm. Now I'm using Suno AI to make music.
What's Suno AI?
Suno AI is a commercial AI music application. Anyone can use it. They have several tiers paid, and there's a free tier as well. I give it lyrics. I give it a word prompt, and it tells me I tell them what kind of music I want and how long. And then I go from there and I play around with it. Sometimes I'll take it out and throw it into GarageBand. Other times I won't. But primarily, it's just there to accompany the moving images that I create.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I really fall in love with a piece of music that I've made, and it's easier to do the work that way because mm-hmm. you have to play it a lot to make a 1.5 or 2 minute long piece.
And is it some kind of synchronization that you have to use to combine the flow of the music and the digital work together when you're doing it?
Well, yeah, what I like about it is it's kind of being a film director, and you have your mise en scène, and you know where you want to go, and you know the kind of mood that you're creating, and it's really just like directing a movie. You know the editing is probably the most important part of the whole process.
Oh wow! In what way is it like directing a movie? Because right now everything's gone from stationary to digital video. That's how everybody's seeing it. It's like a video package now versus just a picture or still image. Now everybody's going into video. Even the still things are like you click it twice and then the video comes on.
That's right.
So is that video direction a part of digital art? Is that just the way you do it and how you deal with it?
Well, no, actually, I start with a still. I usually start with a painting and I animate the painting. And then I have characters, that's why often it's like a movie, because I have people and they have a story to tell. And the music, the words, now I have lyrics that I write. And they often narrate what's going on, sometimes not directly. Sometimes it's a little more abstract than that. But see for yourself. Just want to put in a pitch for Art Expressionism Instagram, which I curate that, and it's the handle is @Texpressionism, and the hashtag is simply #Texpressionism, and we usually feature artists who use the hashtag, and we have them from all over the world, and it's really a big part, I think, of keeping the community alive and also expanding the community and also exchanging ideas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know we follow you and you follow us.
Yes, I do. I will follow you to the end of the earth. I sure will. You're doing a movement. I'm always for movements. That's where all the action and the life is living. That's what keeps the planet alive. So let's go to Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hi.
So, Randy, you and Cynthia are based in L.A.
No, I'm based in Providence, Rhode Island.
Randy is North Providence.
I'm in LA.
You're the one in LA. You know why? Because Rex Roos was supposed to come on. And am I looking down here? He was the next person supposed to talk on my list. When I said his name in the description and I looked down, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's not here. You know, LA and Cynthia, you're out of North Providence, Rhode Island. I have it written down, but when I looked down, I saw his name and I looked up and he wasn't there. I'm like, I got to back it up. Hey, Randy.
Hi.
Hey, Cynthia. So I'm going to imagine, Randy, I want you to talk about, it says that your work explores the subjective part of emotions.
Yes.
So that means things that are hidden from people. That doesn't mean somebody might seem screaming or yelling or something very visible. You go deeper than that. And I want you to explain that deep. Where is that deep? And where does that deep come from?
The deep comes from our inner voices and our inner emotions and all the different voices going on at one time. And what I do is I take still paintings, and this is where it originated, and I use a vector mask, and I'm able to adjust the expressions of the face. And so I can give smiles and sadness or just distortion, and to create this breadth of emotion in time-based imagery. So it starts with a painting, and this was a few years ago when I was first starting. And now I've also investigated AI creation of characters where I start from image to image. I also use text to image or a combination of the two. And so that's where the work, it's telling stories, psychological journeys, and just this breadth of emotion, even if you're watching traffic go by or you're on a road trip and I use a lot of kaleidoscoping and different visual effects. And most recently, I've worked with a DJ named Audio Objects out here in LA.
Really?
And I've done 5 videos and an EP for him, which has really upped my tech skills and the challenge of working not just in character creation and animation and making them move and tell the story of these videos or of the music, and creating backgrounds and different editing for film. If film becomes a big part of what we do, whether it's 10 seconds or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, or, you know, that the longer it is, the harder it gets to tell the story with these non-real people and non-dialogue in a lot of cases. So for me, it's very important to mirror the human sides of ourselves and create this human connection of all the things going on inside that we don't necessarily share on the outside. Beautiful and sometimes difficult.
And sometimes not so beautiful. What? But that's authentic. Everybody's like, oh, everybody wants to be authentic. And I always ask the question, have you ever seen authentic? And do you really want authentic? That means you get to hear everything that people may or may not like about you. They get to tell you, blah, blah. You get to tell them that's authentic. In my opinion, that's what the word means. It means no mask. There's no mask whatsoever. This is a full-blown person. You're displaying at LACTA. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And I helped coordinate a show of Texpressionism at LACTA, and we're coordinating a second.
Now, how is LACTA doing? I only heard of LACTA through Karen, because I didn't even know about digital art until I started talking to Karen, and then she introduced me. And now I'm like, well, hey, this is my people right here. Let's go, you know. So well, what is that like? Talk about that.
Well, Rex provides a wonderful environment for experimentation and to show moving and still images and printed image created digitally, which sometimes is rejected. A lot of the prospectus and opportunities, you know, digital's not always included, let alone anything that uses AI in today's world. So it's a great community. It's a great way to experiment, show work, and just have a voice. And he does a lot of happenings at the gallery multiple times a week. If you check it out, you know, through his Instagram and other social media, you'll see there's a lot going on with different groups from all over the country and sometimes out of the country. So he's a big supporter in giving the digital work a voice.
Wow.
Including work that's made, you know, printed, digitally printed work. So
what kind of traffic is LACTA getting? Is it getting an overflow of people that are abstract expressionists and artists, or is it measured by the amount of people that are involved in the digital world? And that's pretty much what the hub is of it. I haven't gone yet.
No, you should go, especially if you go on an art walk night.
Okay.
You're going to really see, because that's when a lot of events happen. And there's always a crowd when he has a special event or a special group doing something with sound live and projection, as well as, so the gallery has about 10 screens that are up that play work simultaneously through headphones. You can hear what's going on. So the artists like Renata and like everyone here are experimenting on multiple levels and presenting projects on multiple levels, and we'll do events in the gallery. So the gallery is quite crowded. I think it has a loyal following. It's been around for, I don't even know how many years before the current location on Spring Street.
Really?
It existed. And then during COVID, you know, all of us had made changes. And last year Rex reopened at the Spring Street location. And whenever I've gone to the openings or the first Thursday events, it's crowded. It's a steady flow, and the performances happen multiple times a week, depending on the week, you know. And it's really pretty exciting. And as far as I think that it's the community, the larger art community is becoming more aware of it. As often you find, artists are segregated into their own kinds, or analog. But it's shifting. And I've had the opportunity to show my digital work here with Cannibal Flower and some other groups that have been generous enough to invite me, such as Durden and Ray. There's a show coming up. And this is great because I've been doing this video work for more than 5 years. And now, finally, people are showing it. It's taken that long to get the gallery or the collectives to interested and open.
Well, that
does not include Rex. Rex and Lacta are always open and inclusive and ready for experimentation of anything digital, sound, video. So,
I'm glad you're there, and I'm glad that that we have women that are part of that history making legacy. So when people that are in their 20s and their teenagers come back years later and say, wow, dude, did you know there was an expressionist group and they were in LA? You know, we want that kind of, you know, juice when they come. So now I get to my girl, Cynthia Dedenach from North Providence, Rhode Island. Hey, Cynthia.
I know, sorry.
Your background says, which I also found, I find all of you thrilling. I dreamed about talking to you today. It was really inside of my consciousness. So, Cynthia, you're all about mindscapes and landscapes. And in my opinion, when you get into all of it creates, I'm really into this thing about creating new neural pathways lately. So any new information I get is supporting that, like, you know, so yeah, get that new neural pathway. So when you do mindscapes and you're doing landscapes, are you combining the two energies together? Are they separate? How are you getting it to do the scape part of it?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I do meld sometimes actual landscapes in my work that would be somewhat realistic. But I also am interested in mindscapes where I'm dealing with trying to understand the nature of reality. And so that then provides me with many ideas to create pieces. I initially worked in analog art with more media and other types of media, like mixed media, etc. And I take those works, and also I take digitally painted works and sometimes combine them. I sometimes use photography, which would be a piece of landscape, and create from there. I'm very interested in creating things that are 2D sculptures, which are kind of is a contradiction in terms, actually.
How? In what way?
In that it's a digital still, And I try to create something that is rather sculptural looking, something out of this world, a mindscape, if you will. And then I've been fortunate to continue to work up my skills with animation, using different softwares and creating videos, again, taking from my digital still work or my analog work and converting it, the analog work, to digital, to create either a video animation or just to let the stills stand on their own. I did show work at LACTA. It was a digital still, 30 by 36. I was so thankful for Rex accepting my work into the show. And then the opportunity that we all had now to submit some video work. Thankfully, Randy showed up at, I should put a plug in for our co-working group in Texpressionism in 2020.
We did work together. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. In 2023, Cynthia Beth Rubin came up with the idea of, how about we have a co-working session on Zoom with some expressionists who are interested in joining? And she asked me if I would join her in, having the co-working occur every Tuesday at noon. And there we work, for an hour and share our work. And Randy showed up one day and Randy said, hey, is anyone interested in working with video? Maybe there's something we can make happen in Los Angeles at the Digital Center for the Arts. And so a collaboration was born. That's the wonderful thing about the co-working, is that artists can come together who are Texpressionists and inspire one another. And also we can focus on our work and share. I can't say enough about how much I love the group. And
you're beautiful, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're here together partly because of that collaborative group. So I do want to share that.
Well, I like that you're real enough that you can pick up a phone and call each other and say, hey, what you into? I came up with this and can I talk to you about it? And that kind of thing. I like that you have access to each other. And it's not this whole thing like, oh, I'm going to be the greatest, baddest, and nobody else is going to hear about anything except me. I like that, all of you, the energies are very, very compatible. And, the interesting thing is that I said, I'm pretty intuitive, and I said, you and Cynthia together, without really knowing that you had been together, for some reason, I put you two together, I'm like, in my mind, before actually talking to you and you telling me that. So, I don't
know. Well, this core group. Yeah. And there's others who are not here today, but this core group tries to make a lot of things happen. And there are a few others, like I said, who aren't able to be here.
What happened to Rex? What happened to Rex?
I don't know.
He didn't say anything.
I'll find out. I'm the Rex connection. Colin's the head of this group, and our salons keep us together.
Okay.
And I have to say, I'm very grateful, because when there's times, it's a very giving group. Everyone in here is just on their journey and their research, making their work, but it's inclusive versus exclusive. It's not competitive. Yes. We share. I use this tool. I use this because nobody's work looks the same, no matter how many apps or programs we share. And that's really what's exciting and very fulfilling.
You guys.
And thanks for Colin for holding it together. We have those salons.
I'm going to talk to him a little bit more. I'm coming around your way, Colin. So hold on, baby. I got something for you. But anyway, Cynthia, back to you for a moment. What drove you into being a Texpressionist versus an expressionist, or not just, but a painter or a sculptor, or, that you went on in there into the digital world? What pulled you in?
Initially, as I said, I was, painting, water media, et cetera. And then in 2014, I got my first iPad, and I began to explore the apps there, and I was pretty self-taught. And then one day, Colin saw me on Instagram, and he said, would you like to join Texpressionism? And I said, Texpressionism, what is that? And he, you know, gave me the website, and I said, I'll check it out. And I did, and I saw some of the salons where people came together either to share their work or to make presentations on a particular topic. And It was free and easy and flexible. And it was, I found my tribe. That's what I and again, thankfully for Colin and all the others who've worked together to make this happen and to follow people on whether Instagram or Facebook and suggest to them, gee, would you like to join? And when I saw the roster of artists that were already there and the quality of their work, I said, this is something I want to be a part of.
Wow. But in order to be a Texpressionist, you have to have some sort of command of the digital world, correct or no?
Well, there's something about it that has to do with technology. I mean, really, when you look at photography, it has to do with technology. When you look at, you know, animation, of course, that deals with technology. If you want to make a digital still of your work, that's technology. So technology comes in lots of forms. And so as Colin always tells us, you're a Texpressionist if you say so.
That's why Karen said that to me. I'm like, can I be a Texpressionist? And Karen's like, if you want to be, I'm like, okay, goody. I was like, I'm so excited. I could be a part of the tribe. I'm like, yes, 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 I get to be. You know, what has been your, any of you answer this before I get back to Colin, what has been your greatest joy of being in the movement, you know, and actually you, whether you all know it or not, you're building a legacy. You are leaving an imprint for people to come back and say, this existed. There's this movement, you know, what is that? Any of you can answer that.
I think for myself, I got attracted to when Colin first put out the call, I saw his first notice go out. And then I watched who showed up at the first meeting. And I said, wait a minute, these people know what they're doing. And I joined because he was presenting a Texpressionism as a terminology, as a language that could define what we're doing with technology and fine art. And there hadn't really been one that I had noticed up until Colin came up with Texpressionism. But once I got into the meeting with everyone, I realized the talent and also the sharing and the ability to collaborate was astounding, because an artist will say, let's say overseas or in Canada or someplace, mm-hmm. they'll say, I'd like to do a show. And then, you know, we can bring in some Texpressionist artists, blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden, the rest of people will join in and say, I can do a catalog for you. I can do a trailer for the show. And that helps everybody gets these shows spread around the world. So I love the community of it.
That's a great thing to have. Let me do another quick sponsor break. Kevin Pike, Coal Banker, my sponsor. Thank you, Kevin. 818-571-1508. He is a real estate and probate specialist with Coal Banker. Thank you for helping support my show and being able to have all of these beautiful people on. Again, 818-571-1508. Now back to our panel. That is Kevin Pike with Coal Banker. Mr. Colin. Now, you mentioned, I love cultural stuff. You mentioned in your bio that your parents are Japanese and Jewish ancestry, and both PhD chemists. Oh, come on now. Come on. Talk to me. Talk to us. Come on. That's rich. That's a whole world in itself to be a part of and bring into this thing, you know, this movement. Talk to me about that. Talk to us.
Somebody once described me as Jupanese, and I thought that was pretty funny. So
I love that.
You know, my parents, they met
when they were doing their doctorates in chemistry at University of Hawaii, which is where my mom is born. My dad is was born in the Bronx. And, you know, my whole family now pretty much is in and around the Honolulu area.
Really?
So, you know, definitely, you know, cross-cultural influences. Also, I lived in New York City for a while, and just, you know, the melting pot there was always, you know, just a huge influence, just on my, you know, kind of general outlook on life. So to see this community come together, with all the diversity that it has, it really, like, you know, it makes me very happy to see, and that it's just kind of going on its own now and people are doing their own thing. We just had our first international museum exhibition in Uzbekistan recently. And I think it was like 8 artists from the US and 1 from England went over there to the contemporary art museum, the main contemporary art museum in Uzbekistan, and did a show. And we're actually going to be having our next salon, which is basically, the salons are artist meetups on Zoom, which the term came from, this term artist salon came from probably back in the 1920s. And maybe salon refers to like a room in somebody's home, almost like a living room where people would get together and hang out and, you know, talk. It would be artists and writers and this and that. And the surrealists back in the 1920s used to host these things. So when we started putting this group together, we started meeting during the pandemic because everyone was holed up and, you know, basically quarantined, and a lot more people were going on Zoom. And we started having these initially weekly and then biweekly meetups. And now it's monthly. We meet on the first Thursday of every month at noon Eastern time. So the next one is actually going to be on November 6th. And anyone can join. It's just expressionism.com/salon. Salons, actually. So if you go to the Texpressionism homepage, you'll find a lot of info. It's just Texpressionism.com. And what was said earlier, as far as what Cynthia mentioned, you're a Texpressionist when you say you are. you know, that's a really important aspect of what we're doing. To me personally, is this idea of self-identification. That is, you know, movements in the past, generally, there'd be sort of, you know, an art critic or an art historian on high that says, you know, these are the abstract expressionist painters. You know, there was like Clement Greenberg or Rosenberg in the 1950s that named, and the artists themselves didn't even necessarily identify in that fashion. So, you know, I wanted to create something where if people like the term, they could use it. And, you know, using the term as a hashtag is also a way that Renata, our Instagram curator, can, you know, discover new artists and source people for the artist directory. So it's become something that's really, you know, pretty unique. And it's, you know, been just an incredible ongoing journey, you know.
And thank you for explaining the salon, because I'm telling you, I thought it was a room. Like, after, you know, you said you referred it as an artist salon, and I would not have known, had you not explained it, nobody would have known it was online in a Zoom, that it's a Zoom salon, not a physical place. You can go, Renata, he said that you curate those salons. What do you look for in artists that are wanting to join? And you as a mentor, Renata, you're a mentor, whether you want to be or not, all of you are. You as a mentor, with your broad experience from the Haas School and from actually knowing and being around some of those expressionists from that time period and that movement, what is the process of them being a part of what you're doing and getting to know you more?
Anyone can host a salon. Anyone can propose a topic.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. After the salon, we have an after party, otherwise known as the advisory council, where we brainstorm. And the person who says, I want to do one on feminism, then they get to host the next salon on feminism. And they can bring in artists to present. And then we also have open mics where we just let people show up and give everyone 15 minutes to present. It's not always based on a particular theme, but mostly themes, right, Colin?
Yeah, it kind of, you know, it just ebbs and flows. Yeah, it's open, you know, people use screen sharing in Zoom so they can bring up their work or even pull up their website. And then everything gets recorded and posted to YouTube. So we have this ongoing archive, and this is going to be our 100th salon in November 6th. So all this content is sort of being aggregated on YouTube, but it's all accessible through the website, which is a hub. And we have artist interviews on there. I mean, I recently interviewed this artist, Sasha Stiles, who works with poetry and AI. And she's kind of a main artist at MoMA right now in New York City. There's a big video wall where her work is on display. So, and that happened after, you know, we did the interview. So it was super cool to see that.
I'm happy to hear to see all the support. Now, in comparison, and not in comparison, because in my opinion, New York and LA have nothing to do with each other. But for some reason, people put them together because they are two major hubs that anybody that's doing anything has to go through. So, but what is the differences or similarities that you see in the movement as it moves in LA and as it moves back east? Is it stronger influenced in that area and moving towards the West, or does the West influence it and then moves it towards the other area? What is the, what's the ley line here? Where's the ley line going? You know what a ley line is, right? The ley lines, she ran it down. The ley lines, those paths on the earth that you have to go on Google Earth to find, and they form a dragon's tail, usually some kind of swoop. What is the movement? How is it moving? Is it moving from east to west to east, globally, or doesn't?
Globally, I think is what we'd say. It's an international movement, and that's one of the joys that I would pick as far as being part of the group. The diversity and the internationalism of the group and the coming together, you know, at salons, that we also have translation for people who speak in another language. So, yes, Cynthia Beth Rubin was all about making that happen in the Zooms so we can attract people. So I don't know, and I guess maybe Colin can speak to this. I don't know that we move east to west or west to east. We just want to be everywhere.
Well, you are everywhere, but where does the drive come from? Who's initiating the push? You know, like, oh, hey, Colin gets on and says, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to do this today. We're going to do Zoom. And then it goes like this way or goes that way. Like usually in media and PR, I do media and PR. There's a blurb comes out. Hey, everybody, the blurb is from blah, 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 blah. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. So that's where the direction comes from. Who does that?
Well, I think, you know, the initial meetup was myself, Osvan Rosen, who was the second person that I saw using this term. My friend Steve Miller, who I worked for 30 years ago as a studio assistant, and a colleague of mine named Patrick Lichty from graduate school, and then this woman, Helen Harrison. So Steve, Oz, and I were all based in the Hamptons, and I grew up out in the East End of Long Island, which also is where abstract expressionism really was formulated, in the sense that, you know, it was artists like Jackson Pollock and Willem de Kooning, Franz Klein, all these people migrated out there from New York City in the 1950s. And Helen, who is our advisor, was the director of the Pollock Krasner House and Study Center for 30 years. So she basically got up every morning and went to work in Jackson Pollock's house, where he and Lee Krasner lived and worked. So she was an amazing, you know, and has been an amazing resource, and, you know, legitimizing what we're doing in a sense, and also providing input. So I feel like, you know, we're building off of this energy that these artists had back then on the East Coast, and then it sort of has spread. And Randy has really been the person, you know, making waves happen on the West Coast. That's our first West Coast show at LACTA, which is really cool, you know. And then, like, we have an artist member named Tommy Mintz, and he curated a show for us in Chelsea in New York City this year. And he also curated our first museum exhibition in Brooklyn at the Kingsborough Art Museum the previous year. So, you know, artists are taking initiatives to do these things and be point people, and using text expressionism kind of as a springboard to approach institutions and outside curators and, you know, make shows happen. So It's a nice model where, for me personally, the idea of it being as decentralized as possible is really important.
Wow, that's beautiful. And thank you for expressing it, because that's what I was trying to lead, where is the drive coming from? You know how there's a machine drive and then it goes out like an octopus and everybody kind of gets the extension. That's what I wanted to know. So you brought that to light for the audience, for people out there that like they're historians and they really want to know, how the movement happened and what direction it came from. Now, I want to ask all of you with the terms AI, this is our final question. We got to go. I want everybody to say their social media tags, how we're going to find out more about you and Techspressionism, which you've mentioned, but I want you to mention it again. Do you think that because we have AI, it's going to take away from the authenticity of the human being? Will we feel the same thing if we look at a digital thing versus somebody that took 9 hours to gruel it out and put the paint on it and have to go back and get some sleep and drink or whatever else they did to get through? Do you feel that we are in danger of losing the authenticity of art because of AI, or do you think that AI is a tool that we can better express our artistic selves?
I'll jump. I think AI is a tool. I think, like all tools, and with the way we're seeing AI used in many quick push button fixes, there's that fear that everyone's going to do it. But the same way an analog artist is grueling, so is being a digital artist and an animator and combining all this Techspressionist artist. It takes hours and hours and hours to get an interesting 20 seconds and to say something with it. So people used to be afraid of the train, the phone, the steam engine. And I don't think we're going to lose humanity. There will always be the commercial uses of things and the ugly. But I think the artist will use it as artists, mm-hmm. as an artist medium, in addition to all the things artists do.
So it'll find its place. It's not some big takeover like everybody's like, oh my God, it's going to take over. And people aren't going to be able to paint and everybody's going to buy digital work. And, I don't think that's going to be true. Do any of you think that's going to be true, or do you? It's not going to take over, is it?
No. Artists will always find a way to break the code or break the machine to go on to the other side to find something new. So they're not relying on AI. They're actually using it as a collaborator to do something new.
Mm-hmm. And so I want all of you, thank you. I don't have enough time to really get into some of the deeper things I wanted to talk about, but I wanted to at least give you enough questions to let each of you express yourself, which I think we've done, and let each of you have something to say. Any of you have any final words, we want to hear it. I want to hear everything coming out of your mouth. I'm trying to save it in a cup as we speak so I can encapsulate it and keep it for the rest of my life. I guess the cup is video. So anything else anybody want to say before you give your social media tags and we get out of here?
I just want to say, if anyone watching the recording of this, come join us on Zoom at our salons. That's the best way to get involved with the community and to get to know some of the people in real time.
And that's November 6th?
November 6th. And we meet the first Thursday of every month on Zoom at noon Eastern. But on techspressionism.com, there's a salon section that has a registration link to get the Zoom link emailed to you.
Okay, great. And then, Colin, your website?
It's goldberg.art.
That's simple and easy. Goldberg.art. And Cynthia DiDonato?
My website, you want, is cynthiadidonato.weebly.com, and I'm on Instagram at cddonato_art.
Okay, and Colin, your IG?
It's at Colin Goldberg is my handle on Instagram.
And your handle, Randy, and your website?
My handle's at Randy Matushevitz Art, and my website is randymatushevitz.com.
And Miss Renata.
My Instagram is at Renata Gigi. That's @RenataJiJi_. My website is my name, Renata, as you see it on the screen, RenataJaniszewska.com.
Okay. And Miss Karen LaFleur, my friend, yours.
My website is LaFleurArtworks.com, and my IG is LaFleurArtworks.
All right. So I can't, again, thank all of you enough for coming on and bearing with me as we talk about and dig out the language, the new language and the ongoing language of Tech Expressionism. Don't forget about me, Osiris_Munir_the painter on IG all day long. And then I have Express Abstract.net. So it's Express Abstract.net. And Ankh Entertainment One is the blog that we have. And don't forget to support Expressionism. See all of these beautiful people. Support them. Support us. We cannot do movements and leave legacies without people out there saying, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. I want to get to know a Karen, a Cynthia, a Colin, a Randy, a Renata. I want to be a part of it. And I want to grow and expand my neural pathways. Don't forget, it's all about expanding and growing those neural pathways. Don't forget, I love you. I love you for who you are, what you do every day, how you stand up for yourself. And I like you for being a wonderful human being and giving all that you can give to the world. Shout out to Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio. Without you, I can't shine every week. Thank you for letting me shine. And don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Goodbye, and I'll see you next week. Thank you again for coming to the Osiris Munir Show. You did a great job. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.